Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
Echo Park Jimmy gets confused sometimes.
Echo Park Jimmy gets confused sometimes?
Yeah. The other day, I saw him walking his blank.
That's a really good one. Took me a minute.
If I've said this yet, but Happy New Year, Patrick.
Happy New Year, Jim.
That, I'm going to open the New Year beer.
Crack.
There we go.
America's finest, oldest brewery. It's
traditional.
Yeah,
this is Yingling.
Yeah.
You know, when I moved to the D.C. area in 07,
right.
And I first got Yingling because I don't think they had it anywhere where I lived before.
Uh-huh.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought, here's what I will say, but I haven't had it in a long time.
Yeah.
I just got it now because you know why? Sometimes when I go to the supermarket, and if I only want to get a six pack, once in a while that happens.
Yeah,
I just want to get a six pack.
Yeah, it's morning.
All the six packs of any decent beer cost like $10.
I know, it's ridiculous.
10
or 14.
10 or more, right?
I know, yeah.
And so this time I just like, well, they had Yingling for like $8.50 for like 16-ounce cans.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a deal.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
So I'm going to
really
do that.
Really good deal.
But anyway, what I was going to say is and this Yingling has no connection with our show, but I will say, and I still feel this way after trying it again, it's not the best beer out there, but it's a really good beer for the price, don't you think?
Yeah, really is a good value.
Yes.
Totally. I mean, you know, personally, if that's your price range, that's a lot better than many beers that are out there, especially those big popular ones. Definitely a good call.
Yeah. All right. So where was I going with this? A couple things here with the new year.
Yeah.
It's not too late to get in your call on the favorite.
That's right.
Song,
it is not too late.
Favorite song or album of 2019.
Yep.
You just call 612-440-1984. That number again, 612-440-1984. Call and leave a message. Tell us about the song or album that you really like and why. We will put your voice on a show in January. You can still get those in. And then if you do that, what will we do for those people, Patrick?
We will send you a mixtape.
Yes.
And that is going to be an actual cassette. One side will be Patrick's favorites of 2019, and the other side will be Jim's. So
right.
It's a nice way to wrap up the decade as a little souvenir, especially if you've gotten the first two editions, Crank It 1 and Crank It 2.
Yep.
You really want to get that third one, and we're really excited about it. And we try to get those out to you by Arbor Day. Following 2020, that's right. Yeah, so you know, just watch your mailbox; it'll be coming. But yeah, we'd love to hear what you liked in this last year of the decade.
Okay, so let's get to the show proper today.
All right,
this show is called Rockin' the Suburbs. It's a new year of suburbs rocking. My name is Jim Lenihan,
and I'm Patrick Foster.
And because it's a new year, it seems like a good time to revisit our friend Echo Park Jimmy.
Ah, it really is, Jim. It's what better way to kind of get the new year started than a little EPJ?
I think so. So
he's become a verb.
He's a guy who calls in and leaves a series of messages on our phone line every once in a while, and then we sort of patch all the messages together, and we play them for you, and then we sort of comment after you hear the message. So are you ready?
Take a deep breath, folks.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
I mean, just totally inspired by Patrick and his road trip through the Midwest. Today on Echo Park Jimmy. And now the end is near, so I'll face the final curtain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Hey,
It is Echo Park Jimmy on the road with Sophie and Nina Bassettown. I know you wanted me to do this on camera, but I would try it on the road first. Hey, Echo Park Jimmy, calling from the road near Echo Park, California. I was inspired by Patrick's recent trip through the Midwest, where it sounds like he was, by most turns, spending too much time in a record store and being late for appointments and concerts. Sounds like my life story. But, you know, I think it's been an intense year for Rock in the Suburbs. And for sure, like some of the most amazing shows. I just can't believe, you know, you did that week on Americana. Very upsetting. But I really love the episode where Scott Parks did the early years of the Kinks, the Arista years, Living on a Thin Line. Love those albums. I have those all on vinyl for decades. So it was fun to hear it from another listener's perspective, buying those albums, enjoying them. But at one part he was like, and I would, like, as for day five, like, whenever you think of a Rock in the Suburbs theme subject, you're like, so I'll break it down into 5 days. But Jim and Patrick always figure out the exact number of days. No, Kinks early years, 1 day. Americana, 5 days. That didn't really make sense to me, but I'll let it slide. But hands down, the funniest episode after the Supergroups episode was the episode back when you were trying to defend Western Stars by Bruce Springsteen. It was like a fly in the wall back in the day when Rolling Stone used to give every Bruce Springsteen and, you know, Bob Dylan album 5 stars. And they had to, like, justify, well, it's 5 stars. I know it's not as good as Blood on the Tracks, but it's 5 stars. But it was funny. Jim kept going, well, you know, it's good, but I just kept thinking of, you know, just he hasn't always done best in that kind of Roy Orbison ballad range. I just kept thinking of Gary Oldman covering Sid Vicious, covering Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. It's Bruce. It's Brucey Bruce. But he did a thing called I'll Stand By You for that song, for that movie, Blinded by the Light, which is pretty trickly and crappy. In fact, it was supposed to be for... Hey, Jim, as far as the concerts that got away, I was literally at that same crossroads. It was the week Hugh Grant went on Jay Leno to apologize for picking up a lady of the evening on Sunset Boulevard near my house. And so he went on Jay Leno, and then Pearl Jam and Grateful Dead were both going to play Soldier Field, so we decided to do Pearl Jam. And it was ill-fated. Unlike the Who concert. And I've talked about this elsewhere, but the Clash was not well received at the Silverdome in Pontiac. Eddie Money, very well received. Anyway, so I'm on a walk. I was going to try to do this and call into the Suburban Party line, 612-440-1984. But I think it's going to be too hard. I'm going to be out of breath. There's dogs barking. But I am high on a hilltop in Highland Park, California, Avenue 52 approximately. Whew. And I just wanted to say that my number one, I have like a playlist, obviously, of dog walking songs. But at the top is always, because of my location, Walking in L.A. And I want you guys to listen to Walking in L.A. if you get a chance. And tell me that the background vocals, I researched it, but I couldn't find any evidence, but walking in L.A., the background vocals sound like Weird Al Yankovic on Walking in L.A. Give me some confirmation on that. And then also tell me how Def Leppard, recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominee, Def Leppard, that song. He was talking about a red iPhone in like 1987. That blows my mind. But not as much as you guys trying to justify Bruce Springsteen's Western Stars as being art. He even did a movie. You guys are converts. But it's no Eddie and the Cruisers. If you want that kind of ballad, like, I mean, Dancer in the Dark, Courtney Cox, I mean, Born in the USA? No, I'm just kidding. I just think we're not on the same wavelength as far as Bruce. But he will come back around with some good Heartland Rock. You watch. Yeah, you guys are starting to freak me out a little bit because, you know, you're starting to predict all these people, or like, I just thought, I hate to use the word curse, but like a Rock in the Suburbs curse? It was like all these bands that you mentioned on the podcast, and then all of a sudden, they would wind up 6 feet under. I just started to scare me, that's all. Doc, you gotta help me build a time machine. I compiled the list of bands you mentioned and then sadly passed away. Pat DiMizio, Tommy Keane, Chester Bennington, Chris Cornell, Tom Petty, Charles Bradley, Chuck Berry, David Berman, Rick Ocasek, Daniel, John Stunn, no. And then it started to mesh. But I got afeared for myself. Hey, have you ever wondered about, does anybody know if Roger Daltrey ever tried to sing any Pete Townsend solo songs? Like the best version, or the best thing I could think of is Rough Boys? If Roger sang that would be awesome. Rough Boys! Like, you know, in Roger's voice, that song would be maybe different? Maybe better? And my other random Who thought lately is that probably the most cop riff of all time is Pinball Wizard. Dang, dang, dang. It'll show up in boy bands, in country songs, like what have you. The life. My other random thought is, you know that, Warriors, come out to play, yay. Warriors, come out to play, yay. Would be a good song. Warriors, come out to play, yay. Either for the Warriors. And then my last random thought, other than time taking over the world, is your vote for the best bridge of all time. I'm on Fire, Careless Whisper, or China Girl, or Nisa. And then I guess my vote is for I Melt With You. And I also think it's funny that you're doing a Genesis week, because I used to have like funny dreams about you guys doing a Genesis week, and then Patrick walking in, Genesis week? How dare you? And he walks in with Greta Thunberg. How dare you? Genesis? I think Bubba said it best when talking about Rock in the Suburbs. Patrick Foster's friend Bubba at lowercase e07015. Every time I think there is a Suburbs Pod episode that is not for me, I get blown away. Jesse Dayton was excellent. You guys rock. I mean, that can't be understated, Jim and Patrick. I was rambling things in my mind, but there's a lot. There's 400 to 500,000 podcasts out there now. And then there's a backlog of podcasts that have been, people have been doing them for 20 years. Where do you start? Rock in the Suburbs. You are almost at episode 1,000. That's insane. But I love Bubba's comment. I mean, the whole point is supergroups. You missed one issue on that. Well, you missed a couple things. I don't know if Patrick knows that Jack Blades was in Night Ranger, so you slipped a Night Ranger through Patrick. And you slip a lot past Patrick, like Genesis Week. But the other supergroup I think of when you bring up Damn Yankees is Bad English. Journey was broken up. They hadn't found that imposter singer. And the guys from the Babies, the guys from Journey, and probably a guy from Night Ranger or something formed Bad English. But we'll use that to play out on, because that was hilarious, that episode about supergroups. And, I mean, you guys have been on a roll. There's other podcasts that get me going, but you guys are the start to every Echo Park Jimmy musical day, because it could be anything. And you know the perfect number of episodes. But, I've tried. I've been gone for a while. I tried to call into other podcasts, but they don't take calls. Dissect doesn't take calls. Song Exploder says you have to have a song to call. They're like, you don't have any songs, so I got to start writing a song, including a book, nook, theme, Patrick's book, nook. Yada-da-da-da-da-da-da, Patrick's book, nook. That is a catchy tune. Maybe I'll put my my version on the back burner until 2020. I'll come out with a Mike Wagner, what is it called? Battle of the Bands. My Casio Rock Outer 2020 election year book nook theme. You can't tell me that that Rolling Stone was right about that album. 5 stars. I'm sorry to bring up bummer things, but that Rock in the Suburbs curse I thought was real, but I think it was expunged by, they say everything happens in threes. Rick Ocasek, Eddie Money, Daniel Johnston, hopefully the rest of the people you bring up on Rock in the Suburbs until episode 1000 are safe. I hope so. But the other curse you guys talked about on an episode was the big star sticker on a car. I got one from Rock in the Suburbs, and that car is no more. And I don't really put in new music picks anymore because Mr. Cleveland Browns fan Stephen Routledge is just top notch. And then second and third place every month are Jim and Patrick. I don't know where you find this stuff. But my sources of music have all dried up because this guy Jason Bentley, he's kind of a douche. Black de love like a douche. On a station called KCRW that anyone can stream. But he had a thing called Morning Becomes Eclectic, but he finally retired after 10 years. And they are flailing. The music director's flailing. The best songs are songs he already found. And then also retired, I guess, I don't know, permanently, Steve Jones, Jonesy's Jukebox. He would always come up with some good nuggets. But, yeah, you know. The hardcore week reminded me of Rodney on the Rock. He still has a show, but he's getting up there. I mean, he was on that show, The Monkees, and we know how The Monkees are doing. He's obsessed with The Monkees. He can't pronounce bands, but he's obsessed with The Monkees. Rodney on the Rock. But all those people, good sources of music. Those are all good sources of music, but nothing as just a daily source of music as Rock, 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 rock in the Suburbs. You can't play The Mentors on a G-rated podcast. It was good to see Hardcore Week also had parental advisory. We are playing hardcore. Watch out, man. because my song was always F Authority, Silent Majority, Raised by the System. Now it's time to rise against them. It's a band called, you know, that clown in that movie, It, Pennywise. But they're like 2000. Hey, this is Echo Park Jimmy. I haven't called in a while. I left an introduction message. Shouldn't have been more than like 27 minutes long. But my point is I am not needed anymore. The hive mind has melded. Everybody has their duty. Duty. Scott Parks gets the stuff on vinyl and gives us his report. Craig Rosen does the fact checks. Tug Baker, Tug Bacon, Kevin Bacon, you know, we got a whole crew. And Grand Rapids is the home office. Just like, you know, Saskatchewan is somebody else's home office. But we'll get to Canada in a later episode. Just really quick. The Stephen Routledge music pick for me is The Hive, Good Samaritan. I always try to get a rocker in there, like somebody like Starcrawler had a rocker. Thanks for that. Thank you during Hardcore Week for Hunter Bennett. He kept calling out Echo Park. That is some good stuff. My neighbors were like, did you hear about Hunter Bennett calling out Echo Park? That was top notch. And anyway, The Hive, Good Samaritan. It's a good rocker. And then a couple just like random pop culture picks. I did finally get through most of that four-part punk series. Speaking of hardcore. And they said that punk... They hated that name because it was some prison name for a prison, you know what, like what everybody fears being a punk. So they hated that, so they changed it to hardcore. But then hardcore got a bad rep because it's too violent. Like, you know, that's why there was like kind of a fight back from other neighborhoods like Huntington Beach. They're like, hey, we don't want to do hardcore. It's too violent. So, you know, there's more to be done. You could do a whole nother hardcore week. That was amazing. But the punk thing was cool. Mainly, the main thing it enlightened me to was that just like I've realized as I get older, the media's role in driving subcultures out of existence. Like grunge, remember that? Like, hey, grunge, what a funny. They ruined that. They create these urban folk devils to kill something before it has a chance to develop. Punk, grunge, reggae. You know, it's co-opted, it's ruined, but, you know, I'll get to Frank Sinatra's ramblings and his live albums at a later date, but that punk four-parter is a good one. I mean, I guess I'll leave you with a couple quotes. You know my best of, like, I might make one last call in a month about my best of 2019, but you know what it is. It's Anything Fine, other singles, and then the album they were on, Vampire Weekend, Father of the Bride. Everyone knows it. The Grammy Committee knows it. But it's hard to pick a year anymore, you guys, because Lux Prima, they were bleeding singles out all 2018. So is Lux Prima my favorite album of 2019? I don't know. Tame Impala have this awesome Casio workout. That's my playout. Posthumous Forgiveness. It's got some wicked Casio, Patrick, eh? Tame Impala's new single, eh? But they're bleeding out singles all of 2019, but their album comes out in 2020. So what do you do?
I don't know, man. What do you do?
But Keith Jacobson, his episode recently was awesome. On Austin City Limits. And Mike Snyder's episode on the concerts that got away, that was awesome. And I've already addressed those concerts that got away. But I have not missed a Night Ranger concert. And I guess I'll leave you with a couple quotes. Ian MacKaye, it's just plastic spinning in a circle. What are you afraid of? It must be the ideas. Love that one. And then The other thing is I trash on Bruce Springsteen. But he was talking on Jimmy Kimmel, I believe, about what living in good faith is, you know, the life journey everyone tackles, their definition of freedom. And he's like, I think I can recall this. When you're young, it's, I'm not going to do his accent. I'll just do my Echo Park Jimmy accent. When you're young, it's all about, I'm going to go where I want to go, do what I want to do, be who I want to be. That's okay for your 20s. But somewhere in your 30s, it starts to catch up with you. Your definition of freedom has to expand to include family, your civic life, the community you're involved in. And if it doesn't, you kind of get stuck out in the cold. Because in the business of show, it's a business that kind of retards your growth by nature. What I do is still called playing, not called working. One last bridge that I loved is another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And he's just like, ooh, is there, and then he's just like, we're all adopted. Like, we're all adopted? That's almost a thinker like, you know, devil's haircut in my mind. We're all adopted. I love that thought. What is it doing in Another One Bites the Dust? We're all adopted. Listen for it. Listen for it. I swear it's in there. I also love the Angelo Moore interview. Amusement parks, liquor, drugs, whatever your vices will trap you eventually. Music is the savior for everybody. It comes up in every story. And the Def Leppard is from Pour Some Sugar on Me. Love is like a bomb, baby. Come and get it on. Living like a lover with a red iPhone. I don't know how he had a red iPhone. He must be a time traveler. Time traveler. Shout out Mark Neese. Tim, couple of notes. Little closing notes. The rock line was mentioned with Bob Coburn. KLOS has an archive where they play little nuggets from that show. It's awesome. You also mentioned Soundbreakers. I would definitely recommend that. Did you know that everything that has been on a Rocking the Suburbs episode was once either said first by Echo Bunny or Gene Rayburn from Match Game? I don't know if you knew this. The other thing I talked about earlier, I can't recommend this enough, is it reminds me of your week with Andy Saxophone when he did the whole, like, every 36 or 39-hour compilation of Woodstock. There's this, like, 500-hour compilation. I'm exaggerating. Maybe I can look it up. It's called World on a String, Frank Sinatra, and it's an exhaustive compilation of all his live's moments, including all the talking, which I love. There's this one thing where he does Something in the Way, and he's like, this song is one of the most loved songs of the last 50 or 100 years. George Harrison of those hippies, the Beatles. But what I love about this song is a perfect pop song, and he never says, I love you in it. It's like Something in the Way, but he never says, I love you. But there's all these more snarky comments where he's drunker and he's yelling at the audience. It's awesome. And the other note on Hardcore Week, the DC, incredible. But they always remind me, I think they toured with this band, Idol. And if I could get a playout song or, like, I don't know if I got my Stephen Routledge, like, four-song minimum, but Idols, a song called Colossus. It's not, you know, emblematic of their work, but this song, it reminds me of early, like, the most rocking of the Cult, but very still just, oh, it's amazing. It's called Colossus by Idols. So I think that's it. Let me just make sure. Echo Park Jimmy is not a critic, he's a fan. And the world needs fans, not just creators. I think that singing, like the voice, there's certain voices that people just can't get with. Some people can't get with the EPJ. But, you know, some voices just are perfect. You got to believe what the singer is singing.
All right, that's it. Cuts off there.
Wow, cuts off right there. Really leaves you hanging. It does. Yeah, it really does.
You'll have to call back sometime.
There's a lot there for the new year, Jim.
All right, so we're running long.
Well.
But what do you want to talk about from that call?
Well, I want to say a couple things, Jim. One, I appreciate EPJ, you know, mentioning my road trip to Louisville. But I got to say, right back at him, I was totally inspired by him doing that, you know, when he's out there on his walks with his dogs and doing his stuff and just kind of talking. That was my whole inspiration for doing that thing, totally. So, you know, I appreciate that he liked it, but that was really me trying to do my version of what he does.
So now it comes back around.
Yeah, totally, totally. And also, I do want to say something. I found this really interesting, what he said about The Who. And Peter Townsend and Roger Daltrey singing Peter Townsend's solo song. I mean, Townsend, right? You've interviewed Daltrey, Jim. I mean, Townsend must have written with Roger's voice in mind pretty much his whole life. So even when he made those solo albums, what do you think? I mean, I'd love to hear what you think about that.
I think yes and no. So one thing I'm pretty sure this is right. Okay. I read Pete Townsend's autobiography a few years ago I read that, but I seem to recall in there him saying that Roger was a bit upset that he wrote Rough Boys and recorded it as a solo.
I didn't know that. The Who. Yes. Oh, I can see
because
that.
Because it does sound totally. Like Roger could totally sing that.
Totally. Yeah. I just wonder, and so, I think about that. I found that so interesting. But, like, does you know, Pete always have Roger's voice when he's cutting a demo? Because he cut all those demos. You've heard all those Scoop albums and everything.
But at the same time, I'm not sure I can quite hear Roger's voice on Let My Love Open the Door.
True.
Can you? Doesn't it just seem so perfect for Pete's voice?
Yeah, it's a little bit
a little bit too
open, a little bit too sensitive, and sort of needs to be vulnerable like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know.
Jules and Jim and some of those songs on Empty Glass, you could definitely hear Roger singing that.
So I don't know if Roger ever, if there's any like live versions or anything where he ever did any of this stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I can think of one in the opposite direction, which is this. Pete wrote a song for Roger that was on a Roger solo album called After the Fire. Do you remember that song?
I don't.
It's a really good song.
Okay.
And it was on one of Roger Daltrey's solo albums.
Okay.
And then Pete Townsend performed it on a live album.
Oh, all right.
So you can hear him also doing
that's really cool.
Song.
That'd be great to compare. I'll have to check that out. What's that called again?
After the Fire.
After the Fire.
It's
all right.
A great song.
Okay,
cool. This would have been like 80s era.
Okay. Solo album for Roger.
Yes,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, a couple quick things. First of all, I want to address this idea of the curse. I think there's something a little bit backward on this.
Yeah,
which
totally.
Is that with the exception of Tommy Keen, rest in power, that was a special case. Mm-hmm. But everybody else, I think he mentioned, we were specifically talking about them because they had just passed.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm not
sure.
It wasn't
beforehand.
Yeah. I'm not sure. So let me just say that.
Yeah.
Walking in L.A., he thinks the background vocals are by Weird Al. Do you want to listen to that real
sure,
quickly?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. Did you hear that little bit there?
A little bit. Yeah, totally.
It kind of sounds a little bit shouty.
Yeah,
I
really
guess.
Kind of does.
I'm
yeah.
Not sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I like the missing persons. Yeah, anytime I can slide them in there.
That's good. What else? Oh, Bad English. That was John Waite.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I think Jonathan Cain from
the Babies.
Journey.
Yeah.
And wait, they were in the Babies together.
Oh, that's
right. Wait, who was Bad English?
I'm not sure.
Now I've got this all mixed up. Was Neil Schon in that?
Boy, I hope not. I don't remember Bad English at all.
I'm going to look this up real quick. All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, it was. Okay. So it was John Waite and Jonathan Cain and Neil Schon.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there you go.
Got it.
But you're right. Jonathan Cain was in The Babies and Journey.
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's move on from that.
Well, I want to say, you know, speaking of time machines, everything that's ever been said on this podcast has already been said by Gene Rayburn from Match Game. I'm going to have to go back and watch some of the tapes.
I know.
Maybe. He had some great lines.
Could be. I watched a lot of that show when I was younger, so maybe so I'm just, you know, repeating things
it.
I've heard.
Yep. Yeah, it could be.
Oh, the Book Nook theme. He mentioned the Book Nook theme.
Oh, yeah.
And he was going to write one, and then Mike Wagner wrote this. Well, you and Mike Wagner worked on a great one together, so on and so forth. But he could do an At the Movies theme.
Oh, I would love that.
For our movies
segment.
That
would be fantastic.
So there you go.
Or something for listener mail, because I think, when you heard last week's episodes, we were opening a package, and Bud Virg was doing a little, singing. So we could use something
for
that as well.
We need a theme for the mailbag.
While we're opening the mailbag.
Yes, we need that, too. So there you go. There's a couple of options there.
On the table.
He mentioned The Hives, Good Samaritan, is a song everyone should listen to. We're not going to play that right now. Go out and listen to that, people. Then he gave us two possible songs for a playout. He said, can I have a playout? And he gave like two different ones. So let's just pick one here.
Okay.
Which one would you like to hear? The Tame Impala song or the Idols song?
I'd probably go with the Idols because I'm not familiar with it. Although I do kind of know the Tame Impala a little bit. So whatever you think, though.
Let's
that would
do
be
that.
My vote.
It's called Colossus?
Yep.
And that came out this year, right? That was,
I think so.
Let me see here. Colossus was 2018.
Okay.
From the album Joy as an Act of Resistance. So we'll play out with that. All right. Again, to everyone, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
folks. Get us those messages, get your mixtape. And that's about it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you, EPJ.
If anybody else wants to call, leave a series of messages. Same number, 612-440-1984. All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foss.
And this is Idols, and we'll talk to you guys later. Maybe we can do a match game week of episodes. Can we do a game show, a match game type game show?
Oh, we got to work that out. That would be fantastic. Yes, I love that.
We always get the proper number of episodes every topic. Yeah. So there we go.
There it is. But we could
get some of our local friends, Snyder, whatnot.
Great.
We could set up a little game show here in the basement.
It'd be great. Yeah.
A match game.
Yeah, we could eventually.
Because you have to have like a panel
of
celebrities. Yeah. We've established celebrities within our universe.
Totally.
And then we could get contestants.
Hunter Bennett, obviously, is a celebrity. Yeah. EPJ mentioned many times.
All right. Consider it done. That'll be a new show in the next year, new week. Okay.
We can build a Hollywood Squares in your backyard later. People can go up
all
the way.
Griffin. I found the Merv Griffin set.
That's right.
In the alley back behind the thing.